Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
T-minus one more day to the start of the NFL season as the Kansas City Chiefs will play host to the Baltimore Ravens to kick off the NFL season on Thursday Night Football. We'll also have a game on Friday in Brazil. Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. But today for the Bills, first injury report coming up hopefully a little bit later in the morning. Bills head coach Sean McDermott will speak with the media at 12 for a 12:30 practice. We will hear from Sal Capaccio coming up in just about a little over an hour, about an hour and 15 minutes. He'll speak with us at about 11:15. And then we'll also get a look behind enemy lines as we'll get a look at the Arizona Cardinals with Tyler Drake. He will join the show, covers the Cardinals, has a podcast out there as well. Be an early morning for him, but he'll be joining us in about a half hour at 10:30. Very, very excited.
Zach, I'm also very excited. Do you know what the Sabres just tweeted out?
Captains.
Black and red schedule.
Did they really?
Yup. 1 minute ago. The goat head for 15 games. 15.
Didn't Tage Thompson say he wanted the goat head for
a lot?
I think he just said permanent.
He did say permanent.
I don't even think it was a lot.
He did say permanent. And then that sparked the whole debate of the blue and gold and all that stuff. Real quick, though.
Never leaves.
So, 15 games. The first one being October 26th. Man, they couldn't have done Halloween.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
Halloween would have been so good.
Yeah.
They're wearing it the day after my birthday in April.
There we go.
We're going to that game. That's happening. But yeah, so 15 games. Sabres tweeted that out. They have their black and red schedule up. Man, I'm excited. This is why it's the elite season, because you get football and then all of a sudden, boom, there's hockey. It creeps up on you.
And it's a big thing too with hockey. It comes out of nowhere. Next week Friday is the prospect challenge. Then the preseason starts, and the preseason is over in the blink of an eye. It's done. And then all of a sudden it's regular season. I think the Sabres' first regular season game, if I'm remembering correctly, as I just looked at the schedule, is October 4th. I think.
A month from today?
It is October 4th. It is a month.
Month from today.
The Sabres season will kick off. Or well, not kick off. Kickoff's a bad way to put it.
Start,
yeah. It'll just start in a month, and they'll be in Prague against the New Jersey Devils.
Is it wrong to say it kicks off, or is it just wrong because we're talking about football right now and it feels wrong?
Just kickoff feels right. I don't like
because you kick it off like you're kicking it off, you know,
but like you don't kick anything and you literally can't.
Where did kickoff originate? Was it in sports or was it something else?
I feel like it's
something with boats. You kick off of the dock.
Not
maybe?
A chance. Gotta be with football. Gotta be with football.
Hold on.
If it's with boats, I'm gonna be upset.
Where did the term kickoff come from?
Just gonna go right to Google.
Yep.
Did you get anything?
The term kickoff originated in the English language in the 1850s.
It's going to be with bolts. Please, no. It's going to be with bolts.
It has multiple meanings. To start an event or activity in sports with soccer or football, rugby. To become full of action and excitement. To start or to get angry. To complain in a noisy way.
I'm counting
the
soccer.
Oxford English Dictionary's earliest version of kickoff is from 1857. But it doesn't say why.
Soccer. So I'm taking
1857?
It. Yeah.
No.
Look when soccer was invented. That feels right.
Hmm.
Soccer
is very old. Like, if you look back at like the rudimentary roots of soccer, it's very old. But I don't know. I feel like 1857 is a long time ago.
And according to FIFA, modern soccer began in England in 1863.
Yeah, that's right.
So close.
So
that's disrespectful.
Okay, obviously
you can't be that close.
The problem is where did it originate? Like, we know what it means.
I mean, clearly England. Got the Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah,
soccer. True. You know, 10 years later, England, which I'm not really thrilled about.
No, but it was first used as a noun in 1856 and as a verb in 1857.
We've gone too far.
Well, because the verb is the action of kicking off.
The Sabres will skate away a month from today.
Well, face off. Puck drop.
Face off. There it is. Thank you.
Face off works. Puck
because
drop.
Because it is
puck
a face off.
Yeah. Because puck drop you have to say like in a very specific way to make it work.
Yeah, the Sabres will not puck drop their season in a month.
It's a lot of, puck drop is tonight.
No, let's start it right now. The Sabres will puck drop their season
won't
in a month.
Won't be a part of that. Will not be a
coward.
Part of that.
You don't want to be a part of history?
Yeah, I'm good. Right. I'm perfectly good. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And as we did mention, though, while we are a month away from the Sabre season, facing off.
Puck.
That's terrible.
Puck,
no, that doesn't
puck
work.
Dropping.
Puck dropping. We are a day away from the NFL season getting going. I was looking this morning at potential parlays for the lone game tomorrow, which, of course, is Baltimore and Kansas City. We already pretty much know Hollywood Brown will not be a part of the game for KC tomorrow. Actually, it may be official, but Andy Reid all but kiboshed that last week by basically saying like he's not ready. I know today Devin White was ruled out for the Eagles as they take on the Packers on
Friday.
That's
because, I mean, they have to fly out today.
Yep, they are leaving today.
Which is, I mean, Packers too, because it's a 9.5-hour flight to Brazil.
Yep.
Even though it's basically straight down, you're still changing a lot of time zones.
But it's back.
Oh yeah, we're here.
Less
than 24? No, more than 24 hours.
More than 24 hours, yeah. More than 24 hours.
36?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But I think you were saying it yesterday of like you were almost excited to see the injury report.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to like those graphics, like just the things that we're used to on a game week, because then it feels like, oh, like we're back. We're fully back. And then every day has a different meaning because on a normal game week, if you play on a Sunday, you know, let's say in like 3 weeks time, right, mm-hmm. when the Bills play a few Sundays in a row, because the first few weeks here are going to be weird because obviously, so the Bills kick off Sunday mm-hmm. against the Cardinals and then immediately play the Thursday night against the Dolphins, which is fantastic in terms of watchability because you have two games in 5 days, which not so great in terms of the potential, you know, physical aspects of that, but two games in 5 days and then you have another
break.
You get to watch all the rest of the NFL because mm-hmm. Sunday night, Sunday, all day, everything. And then the Bills play on Monday night against Jacksonville. But then it goes to more of a normal schedule that we're kind of used to with the 1 o'clock kickoffs on Sundays or even like the 4:30 kickoffs.
Yeah.
But I think back to last year and it's like, you know, and obviously just every year is like this, but you have, it's the Monday after a game. It's either Victory Monday or it's, man, what happened yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Tuesday. All right, it's kind of just the day to relax and breathe. Wednesday, the first practice, the first, you know, meetings of the week and everything like that. And then Thursdays, you get Thursday Night Football along with more practices and more news and more everything. And it's just every day has a different meaning now, and it's nice. And I'm not saying that, you know, in the summertime it doesn't have a meaning when it's Friday or something like that, but like – when it's,
but we're back on like almost like a schedule,
right? When it's funny. We all, you know, if you're a football fan, or even if you're not a football fan, you're just kind of existing here. You kind of know the day of the week by what football is mm-hmm. happening, which is kind
of
interesting.
That is sort of how we keep track of like the days now. It's like, all right, Monday night football. Okay, Tuesday, Wednesday, nothing. Thursday night football.
And sometimes you even have the Saturday games late in the year. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this week with the Friday game. And last year with the Black Friday game.
Yep.
That was a first, and I bet you it's not going to be the last, for sure.
No, not a chance. But, yeah, it is interesting now that, like, that's how a lot of people end up kind of keeping track of their days and stuff like that is when football is on. For a lot of people, Saturday is the college day. Friday is the high school day. Thursday starts the NFL week. I am nervous, though, for the Bills. I'm never somebody that gets that excited for week one, because oftentimes week one is not really indicative of what your season is going to be. It is kind of an outlier in that sense. You could have an incredible great win, what have you, and then your season just absolutely tailspins. Or you could have a bad loss, and then all of a sudden it's like, you look back at the year and go, that was really a bit of an outlier. Like, they were really good that year. And especially with the Bills, this season, I find myself both encouraged and excited with certain things. You know, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, of course, a lot of the young guys like Terrell Bernard, Osiris Torrance, and Ed Oliver, I think are going to take big steps going forward. But, you know, we've heard Sal talk about it. We've all kind of talked about it. There's a massive, massive, massive unknown when it comes to this Bills team. And the Arizona Cardinals are not a bad football team. This is, you know, a year later, we were having a much different conversation, or a year earlier, we were having a much different conversation about the Arizona Cardinals than we are now. And that's why I'm kind of excited to talk to Tyler Drake in about 15 minutes, because ultimately that's the thing, is it was a drastically different conversation last year, where it was just kind of like, get through the year, you know, get Kyler healthy. Jonathan Gannon seems to be a little bit of a weirder coach. He's got, you know, his introductory press conference.
Is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But his introductory press conference, not great. And then all of a sudden, you know, to start last year, they weren't awful. They seemingly were playing, you know, with a little bit more of a grit, I guess. You know, they were a team that was a little bit tougher to play against, at least to start the year.
Well, and it didn't help either that they didn't have Kyler Murray for the last half of 2022. And the starting half of 2023, last half, meaning more so like three games, four games.
Yeah.
But still, it was, you know, the Cardinals were trying to get something together in 2022, and then Kyler Murray just gets hurt. And then you lose him for half of last season because of that same injury.
Mm-hmm. But ultimately, in 2022 and 23, they had the exact same record, 4-13. But it is a different vibe now. I mean, you get Kyler Murray, you have seemingly a really nice wide receiver room as well, obviously headlined by the addition of Marvin Harrison Jr. Greg Dortch seems to be kind of everyone's favorite fantasy under-the-radar guy. Trey McBride is really good. Their running back room is interesting with Trey Benson and, of course, James Conner.
Well, now James Conner is the bell cow.
I guess the bell cow.
According to their offensive coordinator. I wish I would have known that. Before I drafted in all three of my fantasy leagues.
Yep.
That would have been so cool.
Thanks
for letting me know.
That would have been fun. Buda Baker at safety is phenomenal. And then they've got some of these other guys as well. Paris Johnson Jr., who they drafted last year. So he's going into his second year. They're an interesting team that I, as a Bills fan, barely pay attention to them. Mainly because they're almost as far west as you can get. But they aren't like the major cities like L.A., and the Bills don't play them that much. It's not even like they're in the AFC, they're in the NFC. And so it's just like, I've never really thought of the Arizona Cardinals, and now looking at them, I'm going, it's not a great team to have a lot of question marks heading into your season to play first. And that's what the Bills have. They have a ton of question marks. Now, I think it is just as likely the Bills go out there and win 28-10, and you're just like, yeah, they look awesome. I'm not worried at all. That they lose 28-10 and you're going, cool, the wide receiver position, serious question marks everywhere. They are off to a slow start. The defense, yeah, they may have been old, but they lost a lot of key members on the team, and this is hurting them. I think all of those are just as likely because of all the unknown elements for the Bills.
Let me take that a step further. Here's a bit of a scenario for you. Let's say the Bills do win 28-10 on Sunday. Two of those touchdowns are defensive touchdowns. How do you feel?
I mean, I'm happy. Like, I'm thrilled because that'd be, like, good for the defense, you know, to get two scores. But I think realistically, all the questions coming into this year were on the offense. And for them then, so we're saying they score two touchdowns, defense scores two touchdowns?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Right. Because you feel great because, you know, hey, look, the offense or the defense, we lost a lot of guys and it's not
bad.
You know, it's everything's fine. And let's... it's just all hypothetical, obviously. But it's just... Because I feel like, yes, the offense has been the focal point, but there's been a lot of people saying that one of the reasons why the Bills aren't going to be good this year is because their defense lost a lot of players. And I think my thing, along with some other people too, has been the players they lost are older and have been injured and have had issues with staying healthy and all this stuff over the past 3-4 years, and they've still been good offenses. And then, Matt Milano gets hurt, and yes, that stinks, but you played all season last year without Matt Milano, and you were fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you want to play without Matt Milano, but the point I'm trying to make here is if you go out and have a good defensive performance in the first game like that, you feel good for about 5 minutes, and then you realize, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They scored half the points while our offense only scored our offense scored the same amount. Like that's the problem there is I think the only way we all feel good about this game if they win is if the offense goes out and is just dominant and shows out and is
and there's no real level of panic.
Right. You know,
you're looking not to say exactly this, but like sort of like the Rams game from a few years ago.
Yeah, you go out and you embarrass them, essentially.
Where, like, even you still have some issues where it's like, you didn't look great. There's a few turnovers. But ultimately,
they weren't
handled them.
They weren't uncharacteristic turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, think back to that Rams game. It wasn't like, you know, Allen is trying to make some super stupid crazy play and turns the ball over. And, you know, it's like, what are you doing there? It was just kind of your run-of-the-mill, oh, there's an interception.
There's a fumble.
Or whatever, yeah.
And so, like, I guess my big thing, though, too, is, like, going into this game, I'm almost more interested in, like, and I just tweeted it out here, too, I'm almost more interested in what is the level of panic for Bills fans, though, if they lose. I feel like if they win, because, like, you just brought it up, like, they need to win almost, I would say, for a lot, not everybody, but I think for a lot of fans, they would need to win in a very specific way for fans to feel comfortable, to feel good. There are always going to be fans, I think this is correct to a certain extent, just win. You know, the old Al Davis, you know, saying of just win, baby. I think a lot of fans will just win. Just keep winning.
Yeah.
Give me to January, what have you.
But I think when you have that mentality, and I think that was maybe the mentality of the last couple years, not this past, you know, mm-hmm. 5-6 year span.
Yeah.
But
last two or three.
After 13 seconds specifically,
mm-hmm.
I think that's been the mentality of like, oh, just keep winning. We'll just get to January, just keep getting to the playoffs, just keep winning. I think that's where you run into issues like last season where, oh, yeah, they kept winning, but everything was exposed. And you see all of the issues that you really have, and you see all of these problems that are
everything.
Yeah. And I think that while, yes, I want them to keep winning, I want them to do it convincingly. I don't want to squeak out every win and you know,
you want to feel good. You want to feel like it's sustainable. Yeah. It's consistent.
You're gonna have wins where mm-hmm. where you got a bad taste in your mouth. Where it's, you know, a comeback win.
Yeah.
After some stupid stuff happens, and it's just like, you know what? Hey, they won. That's fine. But when every win feels like that, it leads to this feeling, because every win last year, or most of them anyway, felt like this pulling teeth of like, ooh, man, that was tough, and it mm-hmm. should not have been that tough. And that's
you're more exhausted.
Right.
You know, you're kind of like, I need a drink.
It's that meme of like, hey, kickoff started. Oh my God, what is this? Hey, they won. Great.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's kind of how it felt for a lot of the season last year. But I think that if you have that happen so much in one season, that's what leads to this feeling at the beginning of the next season.
We got two comments already, and I think it pretty much... the first two comments, I think, pretty much nail why I kind of wanted to talk about this. Puckhead tweets in, none, in terms of his level of panic if they lose to the Cardinals. Eater tweets in, full blown. I think that is fair. I think a lot of it, though, also depends, how are you feeling about the Bills going into this game anyways?
Well, right. I mean...
If you think, I think the Bills are going to be fine. It might be a little bit rough in the beginning of the year, but I think they're going to be fine. You're probably not that worried if they lose week one. You're thinking, oh my gosh, Diggs is gone, Hyde and Poyer are gone, they haven't replaced the receivers, what are we going to do? And then they do lose week one, the level of panic is different. It all of a sudden is, everything I feared is maybe coming true. I'm not saying either is the correct way to do it, but I think both are fair. It depends on where you're sitting with the Bills now.
And I think also, no matter how if they do lose week one, no matter how it happens, it's going to be panic.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a last-second Hail Mary, if it's a, you know, Arizona barely gets down the field and kicks like a 52-yard field goal, or, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
all of those scenarios lead to panic. The only – I don't – I mean, I'm Captain Optimism on Twitter for a reason. And I don't mean to be so pessimistic here, but the only way I see there not being panic is if you have an offensive dynamo performance from Allen and two or three of the receivers, or even like James Cook or Dalton Kincaid. And anything else is just kind of like, oh, well, you got the win, but is this the same old story as last year?
Yep. Paul tweets in, none. It's basically the traditional third preseason game. The NFC with little to no consequences. Starters get extended time, working some concepts, players they didn't get to in the preseason, ramp up for the divisional game in 4 days. I think it's also fair to bring up kind of in this point as well, because Paul brought up the preseason games. Kyler Murray hasn't played in the preseason. So if there's fears of like Allen being rusty because he hasn't played too much, I think if you're a Bills fan, there should be hope that Kyler Murray is a little bit rusty because he hasn't played. Razor then tweets in, 10 out of 10 because of the schedule. Just not a good season to let any games like this go. Again, it's the duality of it. I think it's up and down. It depends on what kind of fan you are, where you think the Bills are at now going into week one. And I think that's so fascinating. Because I would say, you know, if we're doing this out of 10, I put it at a 5.
Yeah.
I would be at a 5.
Vinny tweets in, and he said out of 10, I'd say a 7. It's a game they need to win, but a lot of moving parts on the team, and it's week one, which usually isn't the best indication for team success. However, it's a game they need to win in terms of playoffs. And I think that last part that Vinny put in there is very important because, well, you might think of it as, oh, it's just week one, it's an NFC team, it's the Arizona Cardinals. It's week one against a non-conference opponent in a game where you can kind of get ahead of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, look at tomorrow's game, for example. The Chiefs play the Ravens. One of those two teams is going to be 0-1 tomorrow.
The Chiefs were 0-1 last year.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's the perfect, you know, telltale sign for the rest of the season. But if you get a win when other teams that you're rivaling don't, that's a good thing. That's a big thing when it comes to playoffs at the end of the year. And we saw it last year with the seeding.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bills hosted the Chiefs last year.
Yep.
And I do think that that's an important part to look at too, is while yes, it's not a conference game, it's important to the full season outlook in terms of games you should win and also games that you can use to get ahead of other teams.
Well, and also so like you're not in a position you were last year where all of a sudden you have a 5% chance to make the playoffs and you're praying that the Dolphins collapse. I'm not sure on the Dolphins at all. I still think they're a paper tiger. I think they beat up bad teams and can't play well against good teams. But you don't want to leave yourself in that position of, oh, great, we need to now go on a 4-5-6 game win streak just like to keep our playoff hopes alive.
Like they do every year.
They do.
Pretty much.
But
I mean,
you don't want to leave yourself vulnerable to like, yeah, but if we don't, we're screwed.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, 5-6 game win streak at the end of the year every year is very nice. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the ride up to it is terrifying.
I think a lot of this season, too, if I'm being honest, kind of where I'm sitting at with this, I think a lot of this season is let's find out what we have for the next core, for the next group that will be pushing for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. If they win this year, awesome. Teams can win in transition years. They do it all the time. The Chiefs literally just did it. But I do think that that's what this year is for, is that let's find out who of the young group will be here for the next core. We are going to have more cap space next year. We're going to have a ton of early draft picks as well. Let's just figure out what we have now. If we win, awesome. If we don't, we need to figure out who we have. And that's where my fear is that, and I guess really what I'm watching for most of this season, unless it looks like, oh, okay, they're going to be awesome. If they're not a good team, it makes me really worried then going forward, because there is a lot of young talent on this team. And if none of them are really progressing, that is concerning. Mm-hmm. Or if they're not progressing to the point where they could take up spots from the older players that left, that's concerning. That, I feel like, would take like an ultimate like, oh no, everything is going poorly, because I do still think they're a good team with Josh Allen at quarterback. Now it's more to find out, you know, is Keon Coleman going to hit the ground running as a rookie? Are Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir two young guys in the skill position room that you're going to move forward with? Are you kind of going to move forward with James Cook, or are you going to go more towards just the Ray Davis, we're going to draft a running back in rounds 4 or 5 for the next few years? Osiris Torrance, Ed Oliver, Greg Rousseau, AJ Epenesa, Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams. All these young guys, you've got to see what you have in them going forward. I think that's maybe the most interesting part. It's the one interesting thing, or I guess even silver lining I got from the Matt Milano injury. It's terrible for him. It's terrible for the team this year. But it could be nice for them to maybe see, hey, do we need to draft another linebacker you know, when the inevitable Matt Milano exit stage is right moment happens, or we got something in Doran Williams, we're okay. Now we're loaded at linebacker depth. It's going to be really, really interesting. Got to take a quick timeout, but if you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. And coming up after a quick timeout, we're going to be joined by Tyler Drake. He covers the Arizona Cardinals, also the co-host of the Cardinals Corner podcast. We'll get a look behind enemy lines on the Cardinals after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WG.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
GR.
I'm not going to lie, I made it a little bit more difficult than it needed to at the end. I'm not going to say the whole entire time, but for about the past month, I think we were pretty good.
There is San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk being quite honest about the fact that he made the negotiations difficult towards the end.
Good. I'm glad he was honest about it because I was wondering who was more...
So annoyed.
I was wondering who was difficult. Was it him or was it the 49ers? And I'm just glad there's some transparency there because you usually don't get that.
No,
which is
no.
Nice, actually.
I think a lot of the times you don't get transparency, but they've gotten a lot of their deals done now. Ayuk, of course, Trent Williams yesterday, Christian McCaffrey returned to practice as well. So, I mean, San Francisco, the Ricky Pearsall stuff notwithstanding, a lot of their bad vibes flipped on its head right before the season starts. And now we get a look at one of their NFC West rivals as the Bills will take on the Arizona Cardinals for week one. And we were joined by Tyler Drake on the Wester Hotline, covers the Arizona Cardinals, also the co-host of the Cardinals Corner podcast. Tyler, good morning, man. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on. How you guys doing?
Doing very well, doing very well. It feels weird, though, that the Buffalo Bills will kick off the season against Arizona, like a team that has to go all the way across the country for week one. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. It's a very, very far trip for the Cardinals. But on the flip side of that, they do get three straight home games. So it kind of evens out there. I would say it's probably a good back and forth for them. But like obviously week one, that's a far trip. But again, they come back, they get three straight home games. So I think everybody's okay with that.
And remind me if I'm wrong, Tyler. Kyler Murray hasn't played in the preseason, so this is going to be the first time fans will get to see him this year. He played a little bit last year. What is kind of the feelings in terms of his overall health? Of course, the addition of Marvin Harrison Jr. I know Greg Dortch is basically any numbers guy's favorite unknown wide receiver. Like, what is the feelings there?
Yeah, exactly. So you're exactly right. Didn't play in the preseason. He did get some work during the joint practice with the Colts. So that was about the extent of his preseason action. They obviously treated those 2 days like different games almost. So there was a little bit of, you know, time on task against another team. But for the most part, yeah, he's been kind of on the shelf. He went through training camp, got a full offseason healthy, though. That's the big thing there. Obviously got the 8 games last year. Good little sample size under the new system this year, though. He just seems like a different person. He seems like he's much more in tune with the coaching staff, with his teammates. He's taking guys out, got a lot of extra work in L.A., fronted the bill there for a bunch of his guys. I think like 13 playmakers went out there with him. And just his mentality too. I mean, he just seems like he's carrying himself a little bit different. And from all the signs and everything that I've seen and everything we've heard, He looks like he's at another level, and it looks like the Marvin addition is definitely going to help him out. You can tell their rapport is already really solid just through training camp and the amount of targets that he was just eating up on a daily basis. And, yeah, like you said, Greg Dortch is a number guy's dream. I think he's finally got an opportunity to do something now. That was the biggest thing. I think he's always had this skill. He just has always had somebody in front of him, and with Rondale Moore in Atlanta, they made the trade this offseason. That just opens up the opportunity for him that much more. And then another guy, Michael Wilson, I think is somebody that really needs to be looked at as a, you know, legit wide receiver too, if he can stay healthy. That's the biggest thing for him because he clearly looks like he's taking that next step and is bringing a lot more consistency to his game as well.
One guy I was kind of curious about in this wide receiver room was former Buffalo Bills Zay Jones. I know he's suspended for the first 5 games, I think, because of the NFL's player conduct policy or something like that. And where does he fit in with this wide receiver room? Because obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is wide receiver 1, but is he a guy that can maybe become wide receiver 2, or is he more of a certified backup sort of situation? Like, what's his deal in this offense?
Yeah, so when they got him, I automatically thought wide receiver 2. Just everything he's brought to the table his past years with Buffalo and with the Raiders, Jacksonville, obviously. So I thought for sure he was going to move into that wide receiver 2 role. But, you know, Michael Wilson and honestly, Zay Jones came into training camp and right away was just catching everything. He looked like a lot of what was advertised about him. But then you have Michael Wilson, who just consistently brought it through training camp. I still think Michael Wilson won that wide receiver 2 job, regardless of Zay being suspended or not. I do think he's going to be an important piece of the offense moving forward when he comes back. As far as what that looks like, I think it's going to be a wide receiver 3 role type deal right now, just because Michael Wilson's going to command a lot of the looks on the outside. Maybe they move him more into the slot and split things up with Dortch, because Dortch is also a return man, so you never know. Maybe they can move him around there. But I definitely see him having a role in the offense moving forward. It's just a matter of who's going to be available, because if Michael Wilson goes down, you automatically put Zay Jones in that wide receiver 2 slot across from Marvin Harrison. So it's going to be really interesting to see when he comes back, because obviously, like I said, Michael Wilson won that job, but Zay was right there in the mix to have an important role with this offense moving forward.
One matchup I know Bills fans are going to be keeping an eye on is Trey McBride. Of course, with the injury to Matt Milano, there's going to be effectively a backup linebacker covering McBride. And in year 2, man, Tyler, he popped off, going from 29 catches to 81, 825 yards, 3 touchdowns. What is the ceiling for McBride? I know he's a fantasy darling. Of course, statistically as well, he's popping off. But it seems like Marvin Harrison Jr. has taken sort of all the headlines, with McBride kind of quietly already being there, a very, very good NFL tight end.
Yeah. Honestly, I think you should put what he did last year as his floor, because if you look at the schedule or you look at the games played, I mean, he was sitting behind Zach Ertz for 7 weeks, I think, like, and he still put up those numbers. So I think that's really his floor now moving forward. And like you said, the headlines have been all over Marvin Harrison Jr., and rightfully so. He's a number 4 pick. He's looking like everything that everybody's talked about throughout the draft process. He looks like the real deal. But Trey McBride has gone out and quietly put together another solid offseason, a very consistent offseason, and he is going to feast in just how they operate, and especially with Marvin and all these other guys. They've revamped the offensive weapons, and if they can space the ball around and make Marvin really that dynamic number 1 guy, it's going to open up the door for everybody else, but especially Trey McBride. I think if they can get him more involved in play action passing, that would go way, way farther in giving him another boost. I mean, I don't think 1,000 yards is out of the question by any means. You know, we know Kyler Murray loves to involve his tight ends, and you can tell that he and Trey McBride have a really good relationship going into this, you know, 3rd year together. And Trey even talks about it. I mean, they worked on a lot of things that they messed up on in that eight game span that Kyler was back. And he even said in the offseason, like, that alone is huge for his confidence and comfortability in the offense. So I think there, you know, the sky really is the limit for Trey going into this year. And I think he surpasses those numbers from last year by a good margin.
So one other question here for me on the offense is with running backs. So James Conner was kind of named the RB1 without really being named RB1 yesterday. What does that mean for a guy like Trey Benson? I mean, I know he's somebody that there was a lot of chatter around in the offseason. I know I drafted him in one of my fantasy leagues thinking he was going to be a big part of their offense, and now I'm not so sure that that was a good draft pick. Granted, it was in a later round, so it's okay. But what's the deal with the running back room?
Yeah. It's James Conner's show for sure, 100%. He's the bell cow, but I think Trey Benson is definitely going to get his looks. And you know, I don't think that's a bad pick in fantasy. I actually did the same thing over here, but I actually had Conner too, so he's like a premium handcuff. But the big thing there is, I mean, if Conner can stay healthy, he's going to get the bulk of the work. If he goes down, though, which he has in the past couple of years, that's going to open up the door for Trey to come in and really take things over. He just brings it. He's got that home run ability. He can knock somebody down if he has to run somebody over. But James Conner still very much is their guy. He's a leader in the club or in the locker room, and he just brings it. I mean, every day he's about his business. He doesn't say much, but he just runs hard, and I think that's what they love about him. So they're going to give him every opportunity, but the door is open there for Trey to have some kind of role, maybe a pass, maybe more of a pass catcher. Maybe James Conner turns into more of a pass catcher moving forward, because I know that he loves to be in that part of the game. And then you also have Amari DiMercato, who could be in there as a pass pro guy on third down. So there's a couple of guys you got to look in there, but I do think Trey Benson is going to get his looks. I don't know what that snap split is going to look like right away, but I know that they do want to get him involved. I mean, they use a third-round pick on him, and they definitely want to use the rookie that they wasted, or not wasted, but they burned a third-rounder on. So I definitely expect him to play this year and have a decent role. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but he's going to be in there as like the change of pace back. Because I originally entering camp, I thought it was Michael Carter, and he didn't even make the 53-man roster. So that's just the running back room is pretty deep with the Cardinals right now.
So switching over to the defense real quick here, obviously you still have, you know, leader in Buda Baker there, but other than that, what's the defense looking like? Like, how has it improved? How has it changed in the past year or so?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is the defensive line has been revamped. They brought in Justin Jones. They got Bilal Nichols, a couple of guys who can, veterans who can be on the field at all times. And obviously run defense was a big issue for them last year, and hopefully they're alleviating that issue a little bit. But that's still going to be a big one to watch there for sure, especially against Buffalo, because they've got a great run game. But I think the big thing there is you also have Darius Robinson. Obviously, he's on the IR for the first four games with the calf injury, but he is going to be a major factor for this defense moving forward. So the defense, yeah, defensive line definitely revamped. Inside linebacker room, you've got Mack Wilson Sr. and Kaiser White. I think that's one of your most solid, locked-in positions for the Cardinals right now, outside of safety with Jalen and Buda Baker. And cornerback, you've got a lot of guys fighting to really become that CB1 with Sean Murphy Bunting, Garrett Williams. You've got Starling Thomas. You've got Max Melton. So those guys are all, you know, jostling for position. I'd say Garrett Williams has a lock on the nickel spot. But then you've got Sean Murphy Bunting and Starling Thomas on the outside. Obviously, I think we all expect Max Melton to slide into a starting role eventually. Then pass rusher, that's probably the biggest question mark, because they lost DJ Ojulari in training camp. You extended Zaven Collins, but you still need to see more out of him. Dennis Gardeck brings you, you know what you're going to get out of Dennis Gardeck, but you also need to see more out of him. And Xavier Thomas is a rookie out of the fifth round. He's really taken the next step in the preseason, but can he take that to the next level? So that's going to be something to watch definitely over the next couple of weeks, is just how does this pass rush evolve or look moving forward, given that there's been some injuries to that side of the football.
Tyler, last thing for me, I like to ask any of our guests that are covering other teams, you know, especially heading to the season, what are the vibes for Cardinals fans? I mean, two straight years of 4-13, but at least from the outside looking in, it does feel like there is a sense of maybe not, you know, Super Bowl aspirations, but just flat out a better team. Am I kind of right on that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the roster has improved on paper, at least exponentially. I think the talent's there. They've signed some guys to longer deals through free agency. They've brought in more, you know, right away starters out of the draft. The vibe's different. There's no longer, I mean, Zay Jones obviously got suspended not that long ago, but there's not that off-the-field distraction hanging over the franchise like it was the last couple of years, and that's huge. I think that's been the biggest thing for this, you know, rebuild foundation setting, is just the fact that they're sticking with football and not letting outside factors be outside factors. So the vibes, definitely they want to see more wins. People around here want to see more wins. But it's definitely a better spot. This 4-13 team is definitely in a better spot than it was when Jonathan Gannon and Monty took over. So it's in the right direction, but obviously NFL is a business. NFL is based on production. If you don't win, you're going to have to find another job. So obviously the win's got to be there at some point or another.
All right. Tyler, man, thanks for so much for taking some time out of your morning to join us. Got anything you want to promote here?
No, just head over to Arizona Sports. You can find all my work there. Follow me on social media at TDrake for Sports. And, yeah, Cardinals Corner, we go every week and preview some games. We'll give you the recap of what we saw and all everything else in between.
Awesome. Tyler, man, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That was Tyler Drake there on the Wester Hotline. As you mentioned, he covers the Arizona Cardinals and is also the co-host on the Cardinals Corner podcast. I wanted to get like a more of a feeling after that interview of like where I would sit, you know, going into Sunday of like, man, all right, should I really be expecting like a really good team, you know, kind of like that deal, or a really bad team, or what have you? And I'm still sitting here going, I don't know about the Cardinals. I don't know. I think Trey McBride's awesome. I think that is going to be a real serious matchup nightmare for the Bills. Again, he sort of is an unknown name, I think partially because he had his breakout season on a 4-13 Arizona Cardinals team. But he is somebody that, like, of the tight ends the Bills will play this year, he's up there as, like, maybe the one I'm most scared of. And then Matt Milano got hurt. And now it's like, all right, let's see what happens. It's just, it's, it, I'm very nervous about this game in terms of both, again, and I've said this, week one can't really take too much of it because it is week one. It is sort of an anomaly. It is sort of its own thing. But I still want the Bills to look good. I've kind of gotten to this point, Josh, in the last few years of just the week one games I don't get that excited for because the Bills a number of times have kind of let me down and let really Bills fans down. Of course, you have the loss to Zach Wilson last year, the fluky Pittsburgh loss, of course, just in the last few years. And so I kind of am sitting here going like, just get through it. No injuries, get through it. Just I don't want to like leave the game, you know, heading into postgame going, cool. The offense is awful. Like, I just, don't give me that. I don't want to feel like the defense is atrocious, anything. I really, my goal is I don't leave with any grandiose, you know, thoughts. I leave going, cool, the NFL season has started. Sunday Night Football starts in 4 hours. Like, that's kind of the feelings I want to have from it. It's not fun, it's not sexy, but, like, I feel like that's the way to just keep me level key because I think that's the way this game is going to go, win or loss. You brought it up in the first hour or in the first segment of just, like, unless the offense, like, explodes and just terrorizes Arizona, I think a lot of us will probably be like, okay, week one in the books. Off to Miami in 4 days or 5 days, whatever it is. And I think that's probably the right way to look at it. That, though, I am a little bit nervous about, of that quick turnaround, especially in a Miami team. It's early in the season. They typically play their best football early in the season. The Bills have handled them quite handily. I mean, I get it. But that is something slightly nervous about. Going to take a quick time out here, though. 803-0550 is the number to call. What would be your level of panic if the Bills were to fall to the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday? We'll look for your calls. We'll also read some of your tweets after a quick timeout. And a reminder, Matt Sal Capaccio is going to join us at about 11:15 ahead of the Bills practice at 12:30. And Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking with the media at 12. We are expecting captains today, the first injury report, among other things as well. Very exciting day here as the Bills do get ready for their week one matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more, let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out...
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness! The White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
Three players running into each other on one play. It's stuff out of the Three Stooges.
That is rudimentary baseball of...
The short... No, I can describe exactly what happened because it was very simple. So the ball goes into left field, right down the foul line, right?
Mm-hmm.
The shortstop comes over to get the ball.
That feels wrong.
Calls off the third baseman and the left fielder that are both right there. And then at the last second, runs away and gets out of the way. And then the third baseman and left fielder both jump at the ball and collide with each other. And the ball falls fair and then foul. And I don't even know who got up to get it, but one of them was still down on the ground.
Yeah.
I thought, I believe, two runs scored.
Yes.
I don't know if two did, but yeah,
it's bad.
It was bad.
I thought that was Evan coming back with Angels relief pitcher Ben Joyce throwing the hardest pitch in MLB history at 105.5 miles per hour. I would like to point out that happened.
What's the record?
Not good.
It's okay. The Blue Jays are bad too, but it's fine.
The Angels though were in that period where the Blue Jays were like 6 years ago. It's like they're really young. Yeah, they're kind of fun. They're just like the record wise, they're terrible.
Yeah, the Blue Jays kind of missed
bad.
The boat. Yeah. But did you see what the Angels did last night with Shohei Ohtani on the scoreboard?
I didn't see any of what they did when he came back.
I don't know about that, but when he came up, maybe that's something else I saw. When he came up to bat, the scoreboards just said Shohei Ohtani, his number, his position, which DH in this scenario
that night. Yep.
Yeah, and then like his stats and stuff, but like next to his picture, it said used to work here.
That's awesome. I got worried like, that they were going to do nothing.
It's so good. I mean, they did other stuff too, I'm sure, but like that was just the one thing I saw.
I like that used to work here.
Yeah. Also, Kyle Brandt. Guess who his MVP pick is?
Josh Allen?
Yep.
Better be the one seed.
Well,
I mean, the voters have pretty much told you need to be a quarterback on a one seed team. So.
When we have MVP conversations, it's the guy that makes the team the best. It's not the guy on the best team that makes the team the best.
I don't disagree. It's, the voters, though, will vote differently every time.
I distinctly remember, you know, end of high school, beginning of college, me arguing to no end with my friends that Jack Eichel should be the MVP for the Sabres because of the fact that he's making them relevant.
He's dragging them to relevancy.
Yeah,
he's taking a bad team and elevating
them. Right. That's what an MVP does.
Yeah.
And yes, MVPs can be on good teams and make them, you know, champions.
We don't
vote
like that way, Josh.
I can't stand it.
We simply do not.
I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. But hey, Kyle Brandt.
It is what it is. We do have a special show, though, coming up tomorrow as join WGR Sal Capaccio as he does the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This show live from Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Thursday, September 5th. That is tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stop by, say hi, grab a Paula's Donut while supply lasts. Score some awesome WGR 550 swag and enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise courtesy of Northtown. No purchase necessary. Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. See you September 5th at Northtown Kia. Sal Capaccio will join the show in the next segment around 11:15 to preview Bills practice today and everything going on today, including Sean McDermott speaking at 12 o'clock. We'll hear that next. This is WGR.
I mean, they play good football all around. They're an all-around team, and obviously the quarterback's elite. So anytime you go against an elite quarterback, those are the guys that, you know, move the needle on wins and losses. And so you have to defend a really good quarterback.
That is Arizona Cardinals defensive coordinator Nick Rallis talking about Josh Allen and the difficulty of defending him. I think we as Bills fans know that very well with a lot of our good memories, good years even coming from the Bills. It has been watching Josh Allen make teams look foolish for 3 hours. It's
Wait a second.
Lot of fun.
Why are you talking about it like it's past tense?
I mean, well, it's been past tense. We've seen it. Now we're going into the future tense.
Well, the way you were talking,
all of a sudden he's 40.
I was like, wait a minute. Why are we talking about it like it's over? It's just starting.
he's 40. His career's over with. good for
Wake
the memories.
Up. It's a dream.
Let's keep getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We've been reading a lot of tweets today. Also looking for your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. On where would your level of panic be if the Bills were to lose to Arizona? I don't think week one is necessarily the end-all, be-all. The Bills have lost a number of times in week one and have had good seasons. But I find this one incredibly funny. It is Derek tweeting, and not our Derek here at WGR, but a random Derek.
Not our Derek.
If they lose, they better tank the rest of the season. If they can't win versus them, Arizona, it's going to be hellfire and brimstone around here. Might not be totally wrong in terms of people being upset.
See, and okay.
I just like the imagery of hellfire and brimstone in Buffalo.
I mean, he's not wrong, but I just don't want that to be the thought process. Because, yes, we talked the whole first hour about how if you don't win that game by 40, there's going to be panic. But it's one game.
It's one game.
And I know, like I said, we were just talking about how it's very important to win, and it's very bad if you lose that game. But it's also not the end of the season. It's not good, and it makes the rest of the season harder, but it doesn't make it impossible. Mm-hmm. It's not like last year where you have a 1% chance of winning the AFC East and a 5% chance of making the playoffs if you lose to the Arizona Cardinals in week one.
Yep.
Depending on how you lose, it's going to make it look a certain way, mm-hmm. but
And kind of on this point, John tweets in, they lost to Zach Wilson and the Jets last year.
In week one.
Off a freak catch and a punt return for a touchdown their first game. They made the playoffs. We'll just depend on how they get beat, but still no real panic. I think that's also a right way to put it, too. It depends on how they get beat. I mean, if they are blown out by Arizona, that's way different. Like, it's a way different feeling. I legitimately can't see that, especially with Josh Allen at quarterback. And really, up to this point, the Bills just don't get blown out. I mean, like, they don't. They lose close games. Mm-hmm. But in the McDermott-Allen era, they really do not get blown out. I think the Colts game from a few years ago.
Where Jonathan Taylor had 5 touchdowns.
It's kind of cool to watch,
though. I played against someone that had Taylor on their fantasy football team that week, and it was bad.
It's kind of cool, though.
He had like 75 points.
Yeah. Well, Evan Kamara had one.
In Christmas Day. Or Christmas
Day, where he had like 6 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, and it was a passing or a receiving touchdown.
And it was genuinely like one of like the greatest fantasy performances of all time. Yeah, wow.
Jonathan Taylor.
Always forget he's on the Colts because of everything that happened in the beginning of last year.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because there was all of that drama last year.
I keep thinking, I'm like, yeah, it's Anthony Richardson. Like, they got Adonai Mitchell. Like,
Michael Pittman.
Who's the running back? Oh, my gosh, it's Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, the Colts quietly have a good team if they can stay healthy. And if Anthony Richardson is good, the Colts' offense is pretty scary.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones here. We've got David on the line. David, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well.
Doing good.
I got to be honest with you, guys. Lifelong Bills fan. I'm in my 50s, early 50s. This team's let me down, so maybe this call comes from a negative direction. But I'm telling you, if we lose this game, the season's over. And not in a bad way, because guess what? I think all of us in Buffalo know that next season with all the cap space is where we really go after it. So can we just stop lying to ourselves and say maybe next year is the year?
But week one, you're thinking it's over? If they lose to an NFC team, like it wouldn't even be an AFC team.
Oh, well, okay, so just say we beat Arizona. Look at the rest of the schedule. Do you think this team is good enough to go to the Super Bowl? I think we have a lot in place. I don't think we have enough in place to be a Super Bowl contender. I think with the cap space we have next year, we can go after wide receivers and everything needed to win the state. So, yeah, you're right. Am I over? am I dying on the lifeboat? Of course I am, because I'm a diehard Bills fan. But that's just my 2 cents.
Thanks for the call, David.
I think he's absolutely right about next season in terms of the cap space and in terms of the ability to make moves and all of that. That is 100% true.
I agree.
But I get where he's coming from in like the, you know, kind of facetious way of saying like, oh.
It's hard being a Bills fan. They lose all the time. We went through a near 20-year playoff drought. I get it. Yeah.
I didn't
see my first Bills playoff game until I was 19 years old. So, I get it.
It's a Buffalo thing.
I haven't really even said that. I aged it too. I was like, yeah, I went through my entire adolescence.
That really kind of
the painful period of puberty where like it's the worst. No one
well
and my team was awful.
Think about it though. I mean we were like really little kids when the Bills were in the playoffs, like in the early 2000s. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like it wasn't the same because you're 3 looking at a TV screen not knowing what's going on.
Oh yeah.
Like it's not the same.
Like I mean that's I've had people ask me about being a Texas fan, like, are you a huge Vince Young fan? I'm like, oh sure. I mean, like, he won in 05, but like I have no recollection of that year. Like I don't really count my fandom starting until like 07, 08. Like it's the last 2 years of Colt McCoy. So like I technically have a Texas national championship that I can like parade around. I wasn't really a fan at the time. It's kind of the same with like, you know, when Bills fans do talk about the 90s, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't alive during
that. Well, right, yeah. I mean, my parents talk about the 90s a lot.
Sure.
It's funny because during the whole drought, my dad kind of went away from the team a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just partially because he's a little bit of a bigger Sabres fan.
Yep.
That's the reason why I'm such a big Sabres fan. But he talks about, you know, the Super Bowl parties and just the excitement around the team, both teams in the 90s. Because both teams at that time, that's the last time they were both good at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, think about that. I mean, you had the start of the Dominic Hasek era for the Sabres, and then you had the 4 Super Bowls for the Bills all in a row. And
that was a good time.
Lucky us, we were born 9 years too late.
That is kind of a good time. I get that. Yeah, it is tough. I can understand, again, the level of panic. It's just it won't be for me. I won't like it. I'm not gonna sit there and go, ah, shucks, let's, you know, get them next week. No, I mean, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
Mainly because I've kind of stuck my neck out a little bit for this team and thinking they're doing the right way in terms of team building. So if it looks like a disaster on Sunday, I'll be a little upset on a personal level.
Again, like we talked about yesterday and other points this offseason, it might take some time for this team to fully get rolling. Like if there's hiccups on Sunday, any season, that should be expected. Even in the 13 seconds here. Even against the Rams.
Well, I mean, I brought that game up. I think they had like two or three turnovers.
Yeah.
They didn't look awesome. You know, they had
that.
Well,
okay, wait, no. They looked awesome in that game against the Rams.
Well, but,
to
open
the season.
But you could leave and go, man, the Rams really looked bad. The Rams let up five sacks.
Yeah,
I think, honestly,
fair.
I took more from that game of the Rams look really bad.
But even, I mean, look at the 13 seconds here. They lost week one to Pittsburgh.
That, see, now that game, I'm glad you brought that one up. I brought up a little bit, but I didn't initially jump into it. Do you remember all the hype coming into that season?
Mm-hmm.
Especially because you made the AFC Championship the year prior, 13-3. Oh my gosh, you get them at home. Pittsburgh doesn't look good.
Like, nope, you only made the divisional championship.
In 2020?
2020, going into 2021.
Yeah, you went to the AFC Championship game in 2020. Yeah, this is the year following that.
Sorry, I'm thinking backwards.
But, so you had all the hype and everything. I mean, you're like, I remember having conversations with friends and family of like, there's simply no way they lose to Pittsburgh. It's 100% guarantee.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're having this conversation. Let's get to week two. Who do they play week two? Do you have it up?
Miami. And you know what they did in week two?
They killed Miami.
35
they shut nothing. Them
out. Yeah.
35-0. You know what they did in week four? 40-0 against Houston.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I remember that. It's just like, let's get to Miami. Let's get to the divisional to the divisional game in week two. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then the Pittsburgh game is a tire fire.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
I remember
that. And that's also why, week one, I cannot put much credibility into it.
Looking at, 2022, when they take on the Rams the year after 13 seconds and all that stuff, it's a 31-10 win.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them looking fantastic. I mean, yes, there was two Allen interceptions and two fumbles, too.
Yeah.
One by Moss, one by
Cook. It was not a good
day. Oh, my God, that was Zach Moss's first touch. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or was it James Cook's first touch? One of them had their first NFL run, and it was a fumble.
James Cook, I think?
I don't remember. But regardless, I still remember, even though that all happened, it was a good game. It was a good second half, really.
It is weird looking back at the 2021 season now. Real quick, we're going to hear from Sal Capaccio here in just a few more minutes, getting ready for practice at 12:30. Bills head coach Sean McDermott also speaking with the media at 12 o'clock. Looking back at the season, so you lose to Pittsburgh and then immediately just set fire to the teams that you're playing. Again, a shutout
against
Miami.
Oops, that was an accident.
Yep.
So let's see what we can really do here.
Shutout win over Miami. You blow out Washington. Shutout win against Houston. You win by 18 at Kansas City in a rain-delayed game.
I remember staying up for that game, too.
Yep. And so, you blew them out.
Yeah.
Lose to Tennessee, going into the bye, but it's a close game. You were at the goal line.
I don't remember that game.
I do. I was sitting in this room. I think it was Nate Geary was getting ready for post game, and it's just they fell right at the goal line.
Oh, it was okay.
And they go into the bye. And they were 4-2. Then you come out of the bye, dominant win against Miami, 26-11, and then it all kind of fell apart a little bit. Again, you have the Urban Meyer game, 9-6. You lose. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Beat the Jets. Who cares? The Jonathan Taylor game.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
41-15.
You know who led the Bills in rushing in that game?
Who?
Matt Breida.
Matt, what a name. What a name. Let's go, though, to the Western Hotline as our own Sal Capaccio joins the show as we get ready for practice coming up at 12:30. Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking at 12 o'clock. But Sal, we're going to get injury reports, maybe captains today as well.
Yeah, I would expect that. Usually it happens today, the first big media day before the first game, that we'll get an announcement on captains. Usually it gets tweeted out and some sort of release by the team. That could happen here in the next 45 minutes before Sean McDermott speaks, actually. But we'll see if that's the case. And then on top of that, our first injury report of the year will be out after practice, the official injury report. But the advantage of having Sean McDermott speak to us at noon, I'm sure he'll give us an update on injuries. We'll kind of know going into practice what that looks like, basically.
So, Sal, in terms of watching practice, I heard you on with Jeremy and Joe earlier today, too. It's regular season rules. You guys aren't going to be able to kind of hang out for the entire practice, right? There's going to be a media viewing portion.
Yeah, for sure. So the way it works, actually started last week once they got to once they got through final cuts. It started last week, and now it really kind of ramps up as far as how much we can watch, what we can and can't report. But it really doesn't matter as far as what we can and can't, because we're not watching offense versus defense anyway. But we get to watch stretching. We get to watch individual position work, which means quarterbacks throwing to receivers, or, you know, defensive linemen going through some bags or something like that. That usually takes about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then the team breaks off into offense and defense work. Then we go back in the media room, and then the team practices. And obviously that's because of strategy and things like that. They're working on a game plan, and then we'll be able to go out afterwards once they're coming back in to the field house, and that's when we'll hear from Josh Allen, typically on a Wednesday. I'm guessing that's the case today. Somebody else, usually the middle linebacker, I'm guessing maybe Terrell Bernard. We'll find out if he's a captain. Usually that's the way it works. But a lot to kind of get through today, and then we'll know how the rest of the year works with that, but that's how it works.
In terms of this week, in the injury report, I think, is maybe the thing people are most looking forward to. Sal, we talked about it a lot, too. It's just this team sort of had the typical preseason injuries that everyone kind of picks up. Yes, there was one, of course, very serious with Matt Milano, out for effectively the year. We'll see if he's able to come back around December. But towards the end of preseason, it looked like the Bills were starting to turn a corner, start getting healthy. Do you have kind of any like expectations or predictions with this first injury report, namely with guys like Curtis Samuel, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the safety room?
My guess is that some of those guys will still be on the report. But guys, they all were practicing last week. The only guy that was missing from practice last week, the last time we were out here for an actual practice day, was Taron Johnson. And he had missed a couple days. He had actually been on the field walking around, and they said it was a quad injury, but it wasn't like, it didn't seem serious, just kind of the way that was going. And then the next day, he wasn't there at all. So that's something to monitor. Everybody else practiced, guys, in some capacity. Cole Bishop had, I think, a red non contact jersey on, if I remember right, but Mike Edwards didn't. MVS had switched his number. He was practicing. Curtis Samuel, he was practicing. So everybody was practicing in some capacity. Now, we don't get a official questionable designation or whatever, you know, earlier, or even like limited in practice, like something like that doesn't come out official. We just have to kind of know, and usually sometimes the team relays that to us during training camp and preseason. But now it's official. Like now we'll know. You'll get today whether they were full or limited, and whether they're questionable or, you know, what. Actually, that doesn't come out till Friday, the injury designations. But today we'll get the full and limited and, you know, didn't practice, something like that.
Yeah, instead of, like, trying to, like, decipher your guys' videos and stuff like that, we'll actually get the limited and then
right.
Full and all that, which, personally, as someone that writes an update, thank you. That's nice. I don't have to work as much. It's good. It's good, Sal. It makes my life easier.
Yeah, and we'll find out for the Cardinals too, right? I mean, that's always there's two teams here, so, you know, we'll find out for the Cardinals what their injury situation is like, and, you know, we'll get an injury report from them later. Now they're on West Coast time. There's no time necessarily you have to have it submitted by necessarily today for either team, like Eastern time, based on when they practice. So my guess is, I don't exactly know what time they practice today, but my guess is we won't get the Cardinals injury report until later this afternoon.
So, Sal, obviously you guys have been back in the building now for quite some time, but does it just kind of feel different down there today? I mean, it just feels more real, right? Because it's a game week. You know, the Bills play on Sunday. There's a game tomorrow. There's a game Friday. It feels more business as usual, right? Like, it's just kind of that time of year now.
Yeah, for sure, guys. It does. Like, when I walked into the media room just a little while ago, and I'm, you know, getting stuff set up, and there's already other media in there now, and people are kind of, you know, doing their work, getting set. You know, we're kind of thinking about the storylines for the week, you know, and what's going on, and thinking about Sean McDermott talking at 12 noon and what he's going to say and what we're going to ask him. You know, of course, those things happen during the preseason and training camp, but now it's more routine, and you know exactly kind of what to expect and what the week looks like. And it's a game. It's a real game. I mean, you got a NFL game being played right here about, what, 50 yards from where I'm standing right now and inside Highmark Stadium on Sunday afternoon. And at the end of, you know, about 4 o'clock on Sunday, the Buffalo Bills are going to be 1-0 or 0-1. You know, obviously, like, you could have a tie, but 1-0 or 0-1. And it's going to kind of determine and shape a lot of our thoughts on what this team is. And going into today, I think people are still wondering what that is. What does the team look like? And, you know, you got the injuries, of course, and the questions, but I think just overall, what does this team look like on the field this year? It is kind of funny, too, you say that. People always say to me, man, it's your busy time of year. And it is, of course, right? I mean, it's you're always working. Every day something going on covering an NFL team, and that is the case. But I a lot of ways, guys, I prefer the regular season for that even versus the offseason because of its more routine. I know what my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday generally looks like every week. Whereas during the offseason, during the preseason, especially training camp, it's all herky-jerky and different schedules and different times on different days. Like, I mean, starting this week, now granted, the Bills do play today, I'm sorry, Sunday. The next week they play Thursday, right? A week from tomorrow they have another game. And then they play a Monday night game. So the first few weeks will be a little disjointed. And then once you get into a routine, you kind of know what to expect every day.
So, Sal, kind of the big question we're having today on the show, we read a lot of tweets, taking a few calls as well, is just sort of like, because you've mentioned a lot, there's a lot of unknowns with this Bills team, and we kind of were, you know, getting the temperature of what would your level of panic be if the Bills were to lose against Arizona? For me personally, I've said this a lot in the last few weeks as well, it's week one, it can kind of be a little weird, it's not really the greatest litmus test for where your season's going. It can turn out to be, I mean, you look at the Bills last year against the Jets, ultimately having their struggles on offense, but a lot of times, you know, we were just going through the 2021 season here right before you jumped on, you know, they lost to Pittsburgh, and the next four games they won in blowouts. I mean, they shut out two opponents, they beat the Chiefs almost by 20. So where would your level of panic be if they were to lose to Arizona?
Pretty high, guys, to be honest with you. I think this is a team you need to beat. I was listening a little bit earlier, and someone, I think, tweeted in and said because of the schedule, and I think that's right. I think, mm-hmm. like, this is a game you got to get. Look at the first six games. I mean, if you come out of the first six games 4-2, I think that's good. That's real good. I think I would take 4-2 right now for the Buffalo Bills and feel very good about what the rest of their season could look like if they go 4-2. But to go 4-2, I think you have to beat Arizona. Like, if you don't beat Arizona, where are the other four wins coming from out of the next five games? Right, I mean, that's a gauntlet. You have Miami, Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston, the Jets. I mean, these are tough opponents. Three of those games are nighttime games. Two of them on the road at night. This is a game. Look at this point spreads for this week. I think this is the second highest, maybe third, of like point spreads around the league. I think New England, since he's a 9 or 9.5 point favorite over New England, and then it's Buffalo and San Fran, I think, actually like 6 around there. Either way, the point is the Bills should win this game. They should be the better team. Now, we don't know exactly who the Arizona Cardinals are. I know they didn't win many games last year. They did win a couple big ones towards the end of the year. They did go to Pittsburgh in the rain, I think, and win. They beat Philly towards the end of the year. They have some talent. They have a quarterback that can make some plays. But you got them right here, a West Coast team coming here for a 1 o'clock game in the opener. You got to win this game. And if they don't win this game, I think that the panic level gets turned up. Now, you could turn it right around and win five nights later in Miami, and then you ask me the same question, and I would be like, okay, things are a little bit better now. That's fine. But, man, I think going to Miami is a tough spot Thursday night. And if you start 0-1, you are staring 0-2 straight between the eyes.
And I think it's also fair to bring up, too, this team, at least in the McDermott-Allen era, the Jacksonville Jaguars have their number. Yeah, you get them at home on Monday night, you get a little bit of a break, but that game is not even a gimme.
No, and I'll say, though, I like Matt Bove and I on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo actually went through the first six games and said, what's our confidence level on each game of the Bills winning? I had that game actually pretty high. I think it was number two. This Arizona's number one. That was number two, first six games. And the reason is, not only here on a Monday night, but also, you get, I think, 11 days to get ready for that. So they have a Thursday and then a Monday, right? You have, like, a lot of time. It's like a nice little bye week almost. And then, so I think that's a good spot for them. I think that Miami game's a tough game. It's a tough spot. So the first three games, to me, two very winnable games that you should win at home, Arizona and Jacksonville. I think the Miami game is a toss-up. I could see the Bills losing that game. But if you come out of the first three games, at 2-1, yes, I know, if you drop a division game, you know, you don't want to see that. But I think you got to set the tone now. You can't let that happen. You can't let this team can't let themselves get behind and have to play catch up. You have to win a game like this.
All right, Sal, taking some time up in your morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We know you got McDermott coming up at 12, practice at 12:30. But real quick before we get out of here, special Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for letting me tell everybody, because tomorrow I'm going to be over at Northtown Kia, 2900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. And I tell you what, if you get there, especially early enough, you get yourself a Paula's Donut. How about that, right? Well, because they're going to go quick, man. Paula's Donut's out there. We're going to have some WGR merchandise and swag, and you can enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise courtesy of Northtown Automotive. They are the official dealership of the Buffalo Bills, of course. I'm going to be out there, and yeah, we're going to be saying hi to people doing the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's tomorrow, 10 a.m. till 12 p.m.
Awesome. All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We'll talk again later.
All right, you got it, man. Thanks.
And that was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. I kind of do want the captain announcement, though, like before we're done. Because it feels like every team has already done it. I'm just like waiting. Yeah. And knowing the Bills have turned over a lot of the veteran leadership, I'm like, all right, who does the team think is maybe more or less kind of the future of the leadership group? I do imagine, of course, Allen, Sal brought up to Terrell Bernard. We'll see if he's captain. I do imagine he will be. But then, you know, maybe Taron Johnson. Does anyone in the safety room?
It's got to be at noon today, right?
It could be, yeah. Like right before McDermott speaks, they tweet it out kind of deal.
I think as he's speaking, you know, like the introductory part, like, hey, guys, just sitting down here. Here's the captains. Like, you know, I think that'd be nice. I think that would make sense.
That'd be nice. I would like that. That'd be good.
I would love it if it happened right now because I just want to know.
Yeah, it's never something I care all that much about.
No, but this year I think it's different because there's so much turnover. There's going to be so many different names in this. I mean, obviously Allen's still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? We're going to shake things up a little bit.
We get the Stephon Diggs GQ article yesterday, and now all of a sudden, that'd be awful.
That article, those quotes.
Tough.
Questions.
Talk a little bit about that here after a quick timeout. 803-0550 is the number to call. What would your level of panic be if the Bills were to fall to the Arizona Cardinals? We heard from Sal. It's pretty high, and I think he paints a pretty grim picture, though, if they were to fall, especially with the schedule coming up. We saw someone on Twitter say the same thing as well. Again, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here for about another half hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
Now, you mentioned backlash from Jet fans. What type of backlash did you experience after you sacked Aaron Rodgers and he ruptured his Achilles?
I guess the fans just like threats, you know, hoping the worst of me, basically. I kind of didn't pay no mind to it. I'm using it as my motivation for this game. That's what I'm using. But yeah, they was talking crazy. Like, I hope you die, you know, I hope your family, something happened to your family, something. It was just a whole bunch of different fans. Just inbox. And I'm like, dang, I just play football. I ain't want to hurt.
That is former Bills edge rusher Leonard Floyd. Only played 1 year here, but he's talking there the horrific side of fandoms in sports, in media, and really anything. He's talking about death threats he was receiving from Jets fans following
it's absolutely crazy. It's a sport.
It's not even that for me because it's not just in sports. I mean, like, that's why I brought it up in media. I don't like those people, those kind of people. That I'm going to DM an athlete and talk trash because my parlay went down. You're not my friend. I don't really care to like you.
Desperate people that are just like, I mean, do you see that there's maybe a month ago, a guy literally, Aaron Rodgers was walking by him and he was crying saying, I just want one Super Bowl.
Yeah, and see, I don't need that. I don't need that. No. I think a lot of it veers very quickly into I no longer see players as people, and that's where I can't get it all.
Yeah, and it goes both ways, the negative and the positive not seeing players as people anymore. And I just think that's like I don't know. I've been very mad after some sporting events, and I've never once thought, oh, I should message the athlete that just beat my team.
Yeah, and say some of the most vile
bad stuff
things.
About their family.
Yeah.
Like I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yep. Though we did get some news yesterday. We mentioned it right there at the end of the outset. Stephon Diggs, he was in a GQ article talking about his exit with the Bills, looking forward to next or for this season now with Houston. It was a little eye-opening. For some fans, though, I don't think it was. For me, it was.
I think it was very.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For me, it was. But I think there was a lot of fans saying, like, no, he's a diva. He's going to cause problems, what have you.
The main quote that gets everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it yet, here's the quote. None of those teams wanted to get rid of me, Buffalo or Minnesota. Things had to shake because I kind of wanted them to shake.
which is him what? Kind of outright saying, I want it out.
Yeah, which for Minnesota, I kind of like Minnesota, that one was a little different.
Minnesota, I defended vehemently because it was, Kevin Stefanski, the OC in Minnesota.
You're not getting a chance.
Didn't want to throw the ball. He wanted to keep either running it or throwing to Adam Thielen. Stephon Diggs is the better wide receiver. Statistics would tell you, and analytics would tell you, he is the better wide receiver. He's the better deep ball wide receiver. He's the better contested catch guy. He was known as, even at that point, a technician route runner. He was the better receiver. Yeah. Why are you only targeting Thielen?
Right.
That one made sense.
But in Buffalo, though, I just don't understand what changed last season. I mean, it had to have just been last season. I mean, or what I've been thinking about, too, does this go back to when Daboll left?
Could have gone back to when Daboll left. I think a lot of it, too, you know, last year when Joe Brady takes over, they still targeted him. Just wasn't very effective. I mean, he also has a quote in there. I didn't just forget how to play football, you know, with some expletives thrown in there as well. Yeah. But, yeah, like it's I don't know. I'm sitting there and I'm going, it's not great, man.
It's not that I don't get what he's trying to say.
No, I very much get what he's trying to say.
I just don't get the reasoning. I don't understand. Like, again, you had your best career years. Here,
people were arguing that you were an MVP player after like one or two years in Buffalo because it was like it put all the context into the Minnesota years of like, man, he was just underused.
Well, what the other thing is here too is you look at the last 10 games between Diggs and Shakir, just those two specifically.
Yep,
Shakir had 40 more receiving yards, Shakir had 462, Diggs had 422. Shakir had 37 targets, Diggs had 80.
Yeah.
He had double the targets and 40 less yards.
But maybe that's where he was frustrated. Is that ultimately his...
But where is that? But that's where it becomes whose fault is it? Is it Allen's fault or is it Diggs' fault or is it just...
Brady's fault or an amalgamation of everybody?
It's not... I don't think it'd be Brady's fault in that sense because Diggs was targeted 80 times. It's not like he's getting targeted less.
No, but it could come down. He wasn't targeted down the field or what have you. You know, again, that's where the usage comes in of like, and he was used more as just get the ball out quick, two Diggs.
I guess.
Ultimately, I think regardless, the Bills were going to have to eventually move off of Diggs. They did with the cap hit to eventually free up cap space. He was getting there up in age. I mean, he's 30 now, but he's never been this supreme athlete. So his numbers will start to decline. It's normal. But it's just, I'm sad at how it's ended. Diggs is one of my favorite Bills of my lifetime. The connection between him and Allen was legitimately spectacular from the word go. We didn't have a preseason in 2020, so the first time we got to see Allen and Diggs was that 2020 opener against the Jets, and he had like 7 catches for 80 yards. And then the next week, no one gets to see his touchdown because there was a problem with the truck because of like lightning or whatever. I remember that vividly.
Yeah, right.
But he had like 140 yards and a great deep ball pass that Allen looked amazing on, you know, what have you. It was great. And for it to ultimately end like this, it's just a real sour note. Again, I like what the Bills are doing in their wide receiver room. I think that's correct. I think they ultimately missed in the Diggs years by not having another guy for Allen to go to, by not really having a consistent number two option. But now, you know, again, and Diggs is going to, you know, retire as one of my favorite Bills of all time. But I am going to have this sour taste in my mouth, you know, looking back at these highlights going, yeah, and it ended really badly. You know, they trade him for a pick in the next year, which, you know, ultimately looking back makes sense. But, you know, then, you know, there were years where you just always kind of felt like you were walking on eggshells with him. I wonder if that's how the Bills felt as well. I also do wonder, I mean, the Bills, you know, looking ahead, we're filling up or freeing up cap space for next year. I would also imagine it wasn't 100% Diggs wanting out, and the Bills were begging him to stay. I would wager a lot of money that was closer to 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like now I do look at not this offseason, but last offseason, you know, going into OTAs and the problems being there and just, again, like everyone kind of having to, not coddle. Coddle's not the right word. But where Diggs could kind of be as what's the best way to say it? A little morose as he's talking, kind of like leave in the idea that, oh yeah, well, I may not play here. You know, it's a business. It may not happen.
Yeah.
Every time, even though it was like, yeah, I want to retire Bill, but you know, I may not. You know, we'll see. then the Bills would go out and Allen would go out and go, no, he's my brother. He's going to retire a Bill. You know, we're the relationship's perfect, the whole thing. It always felt like he could kind of say whatever he wanted. Everyone else had to play, you know, the company line, which every team in the NFL kind of does. And we were talking about it. It was quite surprising that Brandon Ayuk, just because you never really see that from teams or players, they often want to make it sound like it was all, you know,
the other person's
sunshine
fault.
And, well, not even that, but sunshine and roses.
Okay, yeah.
There was never actually a problem.
There are some times, though, where you have teams trying, or you have a contract situation like that. Brandon, you could have said, oh, well, you know, I was trying to be cooperative the whole time. They were the problem.
Yeah, they were the ones that...
But he came out and was honest about it. And that's it's refreshing because it's not normally what you see. Or like you said, they kind of just covered up. Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's great. Yeah.
What do you mean, man?
Yeah, yeah. Well, then why did it take so long? Yeah. Right? Like, that's the thing is when you get in these situations, if everything is fine, then why does it feel off?
Yep.
Because you can tell as a person, whether it's sports or just life in general, you can tell when something's not what people say it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just happens that way, right? And sports in situations like this are no different. You could tell that something was off just with the offense and with the group. And
that's why
there were times where it felt like it was getting back on track and felt like it was becoming better again, mm-hmm. but then it was just there was a point where it was like the point of no return, and you're just like, yeah, no.
That's the thing too. Ken Dorsey ultimately gets fired after a game that was not his fault in losing, but mm-hmm. it felt like it the time was coming.
Yeah, that was like the first domino to fall, I think.
Yeah, it's just last year was a very weird year. I look at it a lot, but I look at it as maybe one of the worst years of the Al McDermott era. I think even looking back on it, when all of this is said and done.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I mean, they went 11-6 and they won the division.
Yeah. And again, you we see things all the time where, you know, you look at the Chiefs season last year. It was supposed to be a low point. And
Mahomes has openly talked about it at camp.
How they didn't play well. And they weren't.
And they didn't like playing. That it was not fun. And that it was always hard. And they still won a Super Bowl. I mean, like, so that's my thing, too. We've talked a lot about panic levels going up against the Arizona Cardinals. I think Sal, though, was right to bring up. You know, they're 6.5-point favorites. It's one of the highest spreads in week one. Do I think they're going to beat Arizona? Yes. Mainly because, as many fans necessarily don't want to agree, Sean McDermott is in the upper echelon of coaches. He may not be, you know, top five, and I think that is year to year depending, but he is certainly top 10 in the NFL. You can do far worse, and there are only a handful of better options. And they have Josh Allen, a quarterback. It is at home, and it is kind of in an important season of you've got to get off right. I think as well we've brought it up with the Bills in terms of Allen not playing. You know, is he going to be a little rusty? We just talked with Tyler Drake, who covers the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray did not play in the preseason. He didn't at all. Now, there are some teams that do that. The Rams have been notorious for not mm-hmm. playing their starters. It's a way I like to see things go. But I'm also somebody that would go closer to, you know, the joint practices, what have you. And Tyler brought that up, that with the Colts, you know, those are two big days for Kyler in terms of getting work in. It's just they're in a transition period. But the transition feels painful. It's much more painful than if you'd won a Super Bowl, right? That 13 seconds year goes different. They go to the Super Bowl against the Rams. They ultimately win that game, just for argument's sake. You know, the exoduses of the safeties and Trey White and Mitch Morris, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs. You're probably sitting there going, though, like, hey, but you know what? We got one. This group will forever leave as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, in Bills history. You know, Diggs maybe actually doesn't even leave. You know, there's maybe a likelihood of like, nah, we're going to push as hard as we can to make sure you retire a Bill, to make sure a few of you at least retire Bills, rather than you all go off and play for a second or third team and then all come back for a reunion when you're all done. Instead, now it's a sour taste in your mouth of, they just didn't get there. They were close, but didn't get there. The most important piece is still there, yes. But this is going to be an important year moving forward. I've mentioned it a few times of they need to actually have young pieces that are progressing and that are going to be a part of the next core, the next group that pushes this team forward. And if not, I think that's where it's a failure every year. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. I think, yes, even with a hard schedule. The Bills also are a team that's on the schedule, and you're looking going, oh, God, we got to go to Buffalo. Or, oh, no, Buffalo's coming here. Like, I don't want to play them. you still have that. They may not win 13 games, but I'd be a little surprised if they only won like 9. If they didn't make the playoffs, I'd be stunned. And I think it does start with week 1. I think they will beat Arizona. I also think they're going to beat Miami on a short week. Again, until Miami shows that they actually match up well against Josh Allen, I won't believe it. But we're going to see. It's going to be interesting to find out.
We talked about it real quick yesterday in one of the breaks. I'm still the same. I feel the same way I did last year about Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no changes for me.
Yeah.
Tua got his contract. Cool. You're going to regret that next offseason.
Mike McDaniel got his. Actually, I like the Mike McDaniel.
That one works for me. See, Mike McDaniel is the one shining star that they have there, I think. I mean, sure, there's other names. Like, Jalen Waddle's a great wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, awesome.
Tyreek Hill's awesome, yes. But you don't have a quarterback to throw them the ball consistently. I know that Tua had a really good year last year, but mm-hmm. where did that get them? They lost in the first round of the playoffs, and they threw away the AFC East.
Yeah, in pretty spectacular fashion.
Yeah. I mean, I just, the Dolphins can be quote-unquote good, but until they can consistently do something and, like, actually win something, granted, the Bills haven't won the Super Bowl, but they won 4 AFC East titles in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're ultimately, the rest of the teams in their division, I mean, outside the Patriots, but in recent years, nothing for them.
And tell me how the Dolphins have gotten better. Oh, they went out and signed Odell Beckham Jr.? Oh, okay. Yeah. Their offensive line got not better. It's the same.
It was
same.
Already not good.
I was going to say it got worse, but it didn't. It just stayed the same. And you still have massive injuries on defense.
Yep. Got to take a quick time out here. We are getting ready for Bills head coach Sean McDermott to speak with the media at noon. Hopefully we'll get captains, injury reports, and all that in the next 15 minutes. We'll be back after a quick time out. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sal Capaccio is going to have you the rest of the way this week on Thursday. He's got a special show, and then Friday as well. We'll hear from head coach Sean McDermott on that show as well, get some of the more injury reports as the week, of course, goes on, and Friday kind of being the final day. So this will be mine and Josh's last opportunity to kind of do this, but we'll have 2 games before the week ends, with the Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs kicking off tomorrow, then the Eagles and Packers kicking off on Friday, and then, of course, Bills and Cardinals on Sunday. So, with the last few minutes, let's pick some games.
I will pick every game except...
No, you are going to pick the Bills and the Cardinals.
No,
I'm not asking to give a score.
I will pick every game of the season. And I'm not trying to sound like Howard here. I just don't like to do score predictions for the Bills. I don't even like to say the winner. The last time I did a score prediction for the Bills was? The preseason game last year when they played Pittsburgh. And I was like, yeah, they're going to wipe the floor with them because the starters are playing a whole half. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be like 50-0 at halftime. And we're all going to be having a great time.
It's the worst game.
And you know what happened? They lost
the worst
to
game.
Pittsburgh in the preseason.
It's the worst. It looked bad. All right.
No, I will not be giving you a score or an ending, but I will say there will be a fan base that's having a great time, and they will be a somewhat local fan base.
I can read context clues. All right, he takes the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, right, okay, exactly.
All right, Thursday night, Baltimore and Kansas City.
I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this, and I think that I want to see Baltimore. I just think their defense is going to be solid, but I'm interested to see what Kansas City's offense looks like this year. And Kansas City's defense is not a pushover either. Mm-hmm. So I'm back and forth on it, but I think Baltimore will squeak it out.
FanDuel Sportsbook right now has Kansas City at home as a 3-point favorite over Baltimore. I will take Kansas City. Baltimore, okay. I have faded them all offseason. I don't like what they look like at this point. Their wide receiver room is also bad compared to most of the NFL, and they've lost a lot. I'm going to go take the Chiefs.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's, you know, I think it's definitely possible that the Chiefs win, but I don't know. I just wonder what Lamar Jackson might look like with Derrick Henry next to him.
Packers and Eagles in Brazil. Eagles a 2.5-point favorite here on FanDuel.
Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers as well, and then I will be taking the Bills on Sunday. That's going to do it for me and Josh this week. Although coming up here in just about 5 minutes, Bills head coach Sean McDermott will be speaking with the media as practice will be at 12:30. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.